All right. Welcome in to Toilets Two Titles, episode number 41. It is Super Bowl morning. We made it. And I am here with my guy, Shane Hallam, at Shane P. Hallam on Twitter to talk some Senior Bowl. Shane is going to get me updated. Y'all know Shane, but if you don't, he's a fantasy football, NFL draft, and college football analyst. For Fake Pigskin, and he's the co-host of the Debbie Marketplace podcast. And he also writes for SteelCityInsider.net. Shane, what's cooking, my guy?
Hey, what's up, man? I mean, it's one of the most exciting days of the year, right? Super Bowl Sunday, so I'm excited to be here. Excited to. I was just up last night working on a new mock draft for post Super Bowl, so I'm ready.
Is it ready, man? Is it done?
It's done. You know, I gotta wait for tonight and see who wins and who loses. And
all right, so swap those picks if I need to. This is a teaser. Listen in, Shane. Do you mind debuting your top 10 after we do our senior? Sure. You're good with that?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely. So absolutely. That'd be great.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal because Shane, where your mock draft last year before the NFL draft, remind everybody how good it was.
Yeah, I mean, I got ninth in the Fantasy Pros contest, ninth out of almost 500 mock drafts, you know. So, and in the Huddle Report, you know, mine was better than Mel Kiper, better than Todd McShay, you know. My top 100 was number one. Overall, I had the most players of anyone in the top 100 that got drafted. They're 85 out of 100. So, last year was a good year for me. It went really well.
Phenomenal. Man, that's why when I disagree with you, it makes me question, you know, like, what am I reached out to Shane this week because I was watching Ja'Marr Chase. It's funny because I'm wearing a number 7 LSU jersey, but this is for the Honey Badger. And I was like, man, you know, because, all right, so I had heard when Cowboys drafted Trayvon Diggs, I heard he got killed versus Ja'Marr Chase. So I went into that film, Bama versus LSU, expecting it to be devastating. And he got beat, but I thought he had sticky coverage. You know, I just thought it was better than and I didn't go into it trying to watch Trayvon Diggs. I went into it trying to watch Ja'Marr Chase. So I was like, man, this cat's not really blowing me away. But Shane, you know, you were talking him up. So I had to reach out to Shane, and you told me a few things to watch for him, like more specifically, you know, not just getting off coverage, but also how he adjusts to the ball and stuff like that, run after the catch, how he finds the zones and the defense to get open. So I had to reassess my evaluation and go back and watch again because you're usually pretty spot on.
No, it's high praise, and I'm, you know, I'm far from perfect. You know, this is an imperfect science. Yeah. I always say, you know, hey, if you feel something, stick to it, because how many, you know, consensus things end up being extremely wrong in the end. But I mean, it's a fun conversation. Those kind of conversations check me too, right? You know, I'm like, you know, I go back and watch and make sure, you know, that I miss something. So I like, you know, talking about those things with people that I trust. And you know, that's always the way, I think, to evaluate.
All right. And I do want to I skipped a little bit of the introduction. I was excited to bring you in. I just want to let everybody know you can go follow the show on Twitter at Toilets to Titles. My co-host Nate is at Nate_Dirt19. Justin is at JustinFF_, and I'm at Coach Sheps. And you'll be seeing us tweet out, you know, all sorts of NFL draft content coming up. Also, we got listener leagues, all that good stuff. So just, you know, go ahead, follow us. All the links to all that stuff. You can stay tuned to what we have going on. And also to listen to the show, we are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Podbean. We are on Periscope, Spotify, and our YouTube channel. Again, we'll also share that YouTube link in our show notes if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Podbean. And we'll also share it from our Twitter page. And if you could, please hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Hit the like button. On any episodes you're listening to, that'd be greatly appreciated. It helps us and helps the algorithm for the show to put us closer to the top when people search what it is we are talking about. And as far as Apple Podcasts go, if you don't mind throwing us a review, that'd be greatly appreciated. Shane was in our listener league last year, and I hope he's coming back for Frankenstank. And we'll be doing more this league this season. I think we got Frankenstank. We're going to do Phantom of the Porta Potty. All right. So we're keeping it kind of Universal Monster themed, and Shane's wearing a Disney shirt, Universal's another Orlando. It's another Orlando entity. And the reason we called it Frankenstein is because we threw together something like it was a monster, right? So if you want to get in that, you want we're going to give away free entries. So some good reviews will definitely help that out. All right, Shane, I want to talk a little bit of Super Bowl before we get into this Senior Bowl discussion. All right, and Joseph Clark, my cousin Joe, Joe's in here. Who would be your realistic first-round pick for the Cowboys? That is a player you expect to still be on the board. Joe, we're going to get into Senior Bowl discussion, but I'm going to tell you realistically, Surtain, Farley, so Patrick Surtain from Alabama, Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Shane, it's funny because I was all over Michael Parsons and like all offseason, and Shane would bust my chops because he didn't think the Cowboys would be picking high enough to get Micah Parsons. And every week we lost, I would reach out to Shane on Twitter. The dream's alive. And now I think Parsons goes top eight. And so I think he's a little bit out of our range. I like Penny Sewell from Oregon, but he's a little bit out of our range. Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, Shane. Dallas Cowboys, who do you think is a realistic first-round target for them?
I think you hit it. I mean, I don't think there's a 0% chance that Micah Parsons is there. I think it could happen. You know, just positional value if teams prefer that. I think everyone you said is accurate. I think a corner or a defensive back essentially is probably in their wheelhouse. I'll say kind of a sleeper. I'll say a sleeper pick. I mean, it's a guy that's going to go around this area, but maybe a pick that a lot of people aren't talking about. I could see Kyle Pitts being drafted to Dallas. I know they have Blake Jarwin. I know they have Dalton Schultz, but I mean, you know, they like to make that flashy pick like CeeDee Lamb. Last year, they seemed to like the corner depth. I think it's a similar situation. It wouldn't surprise me to see them say, hey, you know, this is an elite talent at a position that we aren't set at, you know, let's build this thing. So that's kind of my, it's not who I picked for them in my mock, but I can reveal that at the
save
end.
Save it till we get to that.
Yeah, but I think Kyle Pitts was a consideration for me in that 10 spot.
If Pitts gets drafted to the Cowboys, I expect a Gallup deal to be like in Jerry's pocket. Like, Gallup's coming up. He's going to need a contract renewal, I think, after this coming season. And I don't think they're going to be able to lock him up. So Pitts would work because it would give them that third option. And then they could also move on from Gallup. And I expect Gallup, maybe they could get a second for him or a future pick. Or yeah, even they could turn it into a D lineman. A guy who's a sleeper for me, for the Cowboys, Koromoa, Owusu-Koromoa from Notre Dame, linebacker. I like him because I think we got Dan Quinn coming over from Atlanta. He had a lot of success with Deion Jones. And I think Koromoa is another guy who's versatile sideline to sideline, and he could fit in there. But I do want to let you know who my crush is. So Parsons was a draft crush for me, still is. I love the guy. But later in the draft, I love Talanoa Hufanga from USC. I love that safety. That guy, I love guys like that, that are just all over the field, got a nose for the football, like Taylor Rapp from a few years ago. You know, clearly Tyrann Mathieu, Buda Baker. I loved Buda Baker. Like, I want a safety like that. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I loved him. So get me Hufanga in the second or third. Jim, where do you have him? You have him like third round, second round, like in your overall evaluation?
Yeah, I kind of have him on that second day fringe. I think the third round's a real possibility. You know, it's a shame there's no combine because I think he's one of those guys that that could really have benefited from that. So he's my ninth ranked safety. I think he could go a little higher than that. Safeties, like a lot of the defensive players are tough, I think, to play. So I would put them in the third, but you might get lucky in the early fourth and might have a shot.
Yeah, Cowboys, for some reason, they don't like to draft safeties earlier than the fifth. I don't know if we'll get them. You know, I've been beating the drum for a safety the last few years and they haven't done it. But all right, Joe, thanks for bringing that up because that was some good discussion. But again, Shane is going to release his top 10 on this show after we talk Senior Bowl. Before we get into Senior Bowl, Super Bowl, Shane, what are your plans for today?
You know, I'm just going to chill. You know, my wife and I, we're making some I wouldn't even call it like Super Bowl food, but kind of semi-Super Bowl food. We make some meatball subs, and we have some, you know, spinach artichoke dip and chips and things like that. So I'm just going to sit back, you know, relax, watch it, maybe get a couple things done. And I'm always excited. I'm always excited for it. You know, you make a couple bets, and I bet on the Gatorade color and the national.
Okay, go ahead. What are your bets? Tell me your bets. Go ahead.
But look, my big bet. Orange Gatorade, that the Gatorade bat at the end of the game, the only color to use more than 1 year in a row. Five of the last 12 years has been orange, and Kansas City had orange last year. So if they win, you know, I think it's a good bet. But I'm betting, you know, Mahomes over everything, and Kansas City pretty big to cover. I mean, you know, I think that this team is better than the consensus thinks, right? They only lost one game. They barely lost that game. And I think if they'd be undefeated, right, they'd probably be favored by 6 or 7 points.
Right.
The other thing to me is, okay, you can be really good, but be complacent. I think the undefeated Patriots, you know, when they lost the Giants, they were kind of, their playoff run wasn't very impressive. I really like Kansas City getting chippy with Buffalo. I mean, they were trying to like fight out there. They had some fire, so you know I'm all on Kansas City winning by a ton.
I have I talked about it. We did prop bet. So if you're listening to this show and you do want to hear some prop bet discussion, go back and listen to episode 40. And we had the Rum Boys on. We had Sven from the Fantasy Fam. We did like 20 minutes just on. We were firing through prop bets. But what I did do, I have Mahomes 33 completions and Mahomes 34 completions. I got money on that, like $15, great odds. I got Kelce, Hill, and Mecole Hardman all to score first touchdown and team win. So I paired that. I got overtime. I put some money on the game going overtime because there were good odds on that, a two-point conversion. I'm a degenerate, man. I got a bunch of them. So I'm very, very excited for this one. And I know I see pictures of some of the stuff you post, of the different things you and your wife cook and put together. So I'm pretty sure that over in your household, you're gonna have a pretty good spread.
Yeah. Look, I love cooking. That's one of the things that I enjoy doing around the house. So yeah, in this quarantine, try to have a date night every month, Disney themed usually. You know, we're obviously into that. You know, we went on our honeymoon to Disney, and Sheps here was our guide. So, you know, he's definitely the guy to get you hooked up, the travel agent to get you hooked up, because it was awesome. So, you know, we've kind of taken some of those things we had in Disney, try to recreate them, and it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. And you into Harry Potter at all?
A little bit. I mean, we went to Universal. You know, we saw the stuff. Like, I enjoy it. I wouldn't say I'm like.
You gotta make some butterbeer. Butterbeer is pretty good too. I don't know how you make it, but it's a very tasty treat. And I don't want to get too much of on a Disney tangent, but the Rise of the Resistance was like Pandora was good, Flight of Passage was good, but Rise of the Resistance, like, it was a entire experience. Like, it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, we have to go back and check that out. You know, we obviously missed that at Disney World. Star Wars hadn't even opened yet. We went to Disneyland a little bit later and had just recently opened, but so no Rise of Resistance there. So you got me excited again. So someday we'll be back.
All right, enough Disney talk, enough Star Wars talk. Super Bowl talk was good. Now let's get into some Senior Bowl recap. So first off, I want to hear, you know, we had you on a few weeks ago before the Senior Bowl to preview a bit. How would you usually, like, your Senior Bowl analysis, how was it normally in years past? Like, how did you perform it as opposed to this year?
So this year actually was a little bit easier. Now, I've gone to the Senior Bowl a number of times back in the day. I interviewed J.J. Watt when he was there, and Nick Foles, guys like that, right? And it gets a little harder with, you know, being married, having a job to do that. So in years past, you know, the TV coverage is usually pretty good. Usually have some people that I trust send me some clips and things, and I can get a good sense. This year they had a virtual credential. So, you know, I applied, we got virtual credentials. They basically put the entire practice films online for us to watch. So it was the first time in a few years that I got to see every single rep. So I felt like I had a much better, I hope they keep it, because I felt like I had a much better idea, you know, of who did well, who didn't, who was a little bit uneven. You know, one thing I say, and I said this on Twitter a few times, just that the practices are a lot more important to the teams than the game. You know, that's most people probably watch the game and look on social media and hear about the practices. But, you know, the game, you're playing with guys you haven't played with, the coaching staff you haven't played with. It's very limited plays. The roles are different. You know, maybe like running backs, I think, is the one position that can help themselves a bit. But
a lot of Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you have like game MVPs like Kyle Laletta and Davis Webb, it's not exactly
Kyle Laletta buzz a little bit, right? He was like, is he, you know, from Richmond, right?
There was some
Laletta buzz.
So, you know, that's the problem. You don't want to let that buzz come from that game. So, it was great. It was a really good year, I think, to get a sense of these guys, especially because a lot of them hadn't played this year. So,
I do want, you know, it's important, like you said, the practices are important. In years past, I'm sure I'm going to be missing a few names, but look at Cooper Kupp specifically and Terry McLaurin. Those are two guys who I think really jumped off the tape, you know, during the practices and showed everybody these guys can play, especially Cooper Kupp. I believe he went to Eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Lesser known school, and he was going up against the top, you know, some of the top players in the country. So that's the place to do it. So the practice reps, the one-on-ones, you know, O-line versus D-line, linebackers covering running backs out of the backfield. Same with wide receivers, you know what I mean? And it's funny because a few times, I think, I don't know if it was you, somebody I saw, there was a comment on a wide receiver and like he broke a DB down and it was a safety. And it was like, no, safety should be like, shouldn't be down in the box and one-on-one. But, you know, there's funny, but, you know, that's an opportunity maybe to show you got some versatility. I think we got another comment from Joe in here. Draft increases in popularity. How is it attending now compared to when you began? A lot more people with their own podcasts, are they attending? So what would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Senior Bowl, it definitely has exponentially grown. They're very liberal about giving, which is great to me. They're very liberal about giving credentials to, you know, you have a website, you have a podcast, like, come on down. You know, there's no really limited space most years. This year, it kind of was. But it's if you ever get a chance, I would suggest doing it. Going for the week, because it's not even just about watching the players in the game, but you know, you meet all these people you've interacted with on Twitter for a decade, and you get to actually, you know, meet them face to face and go have a beer and you know, go hang out for a bit. So it kind of becomes, I always talk like this is kind of the football convention. It felt like a con, you know, everyone's here, everyone's watching football and interacting with each other, and you're talking about players, and you know, that's always a good time. So it's definitely grown, but I think it's great.
Man, I got to get to one. Maybe next year I'll make it down there with you. I'll pick you up on the way down. we'll drive. All right, we got a quick, before we get into the breakouts, we do have a quick question from a Facebook user. For some reason, it doesn't say who it is. What do you guys think about Antonio Gibson going forward? I'm big on him for next year. I think he was always a second-year breakout for me. And I think he was ahead of the curve this year. Like, I think he already started to break out before I expected him to. So he's trending in the right direction. And I think next year is going to be massive for him, especially if the Washington football team can get their hands on Deshaun Watson. I just think that offense, I really like what the Washington football team is doing in general, but I like Antonio Gibson. He could play. What are your thoughts, Shane?
No, I mean, I think he's going to be a good player. I'm going to wait and kind of just see where the draft lands. I think it is one fear of mine that they could draft a more traditional running back to split time a little bit with him. It seemed like they wanted to do that with Peyton Barber, and Peyton Barber's trash. So I think, you know,
Zach Moss pairing with the Devin Singletary, like you could see them going with a guy maybe like that to pair with Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they take someone in the top 100, then you could be like, you know, I probably will still be in on it, Gibson either way. But I think I'd probably pump the brakes if that happens. I mean, if not, I think he's perfect for this offense. I think he's perfect for what they want to do. They want, you know, to have that kind of pass catching running back. That's a big part of this offense. So full speed ahead to me. I think he'll be a value in redraft. People draft those other rookies last year. They'll draft the Cam Akers and the Jonathan Taylors, and you can wait a bit and draft Gibson in the second, third round.
Yeah, Cam Akers is so hot right now. He's after that playoff run, man, people are all over him. All right, Senior Bowl surprises, Shane. Who were the guys that you were, like, surprised, whether it was up, down, but just in general, who surprised you at the Senior Bowl?
Well, you know, I was surprised Kyle Trask didn't play. And anytime someone, you know, steps off the game, it's always, like, injury-related, even if it's not. I mean, I think for him, he got hurt in that bowl game, so it may have been. But I was surprised that he did not give it a go, you know, even in practice, try to practice, because I think it hurt him. I mean, I think he could have had a shot to be a first-round pick if he played really well. And now I think third, fourth round, you know, is more in his wheelhouse. So I think that was kind of a surprise for me that he just, you know, made that choice. Even if, you know, if the injury would have allowed him to practice, I think he should have done it. I was surprised with Jamie Newman. I think he would be on my surprise list no matter what happened. The quarterback out of Wake Forest and transferred to Georgia.
He's a guy who's a lot of buzz around right now. So go ahead.
Yeah, you know, because you know, I kind of do my evaluation. I thought he was very. I thought day one he was one of the worst quarterbacks there, and I thought he got better as time went on, which is positive. You know, you haven't played in a year, it makes sense. But definitely, people that I trust, I've heard both sides. Some that thought he was great, some that thought he was not great. Reminds me of kind of Colin Kaepernick the year he was down there. I think it was very divisive of how well he played. So you know, I think Jamie Newman could put himself in that QB6. Possibility. I think him and Trask will kind of compete for that. I think I would have been surprised either way. If he would have stunk, everyone would have been great. You know, I would have been kind of surprised not seeing him for a year. But he has a little bit of juice. I think teams are going to like the athleticism and, you know, think there's some possibilities there. Another big surprise for me was Demetri Felton, running back for UCLA, who essentially played receiver for the week. He did some running back drills, but you know, most of the week was at receiver. And I thought he looked really good. Not what I expected. I kind of had him low on my running back rankings, and it almost is like a reverse Antonio Gibson, where like when I evaluated Antonio Gibson as a receiver, I wasn't super thrilled, and then feel like, I think he's going to be a running back. Oh, I like him. You know, I think Felton's the same way. As a running back, he's kind of eh. But as a receiver, I thought he played really well. So he's someone that I couldn't even say rose up my rankings because I switched positions on him, but much higher on my receiver board than my running back board. And then a small school player that I liked a lot coming into the year, but kind of got left behind because he didn't play this year, is Cade Johnson, receiver out of South Dakota State. I thought he was phenomenal. I mean, he's going – this cornerback class is there's kind of two corners at the Senior Bowl that I felt like had good weeks that I felt was good. So you know, these receivers kind of dominated and I expected them to, but Kay Johnson was a player that I didn't think would even match up with the top corners of the week or even the mid tier corners of the week. And I mean, he was doing so many subtle things to kind of turn them around, to kind of fake the routes that he was running. I thought he was really good. So he's a player that surprised me and I think put himself in a draftable range. And, you know, he's certainly not on Cooper Kupp's level of talent, you know, from a small school player, but I think he's a smaller school player that, you know, could step in day one and have an NFL role. And I think that's what you look for.
All right, great. All right. So those are, you know, Felton was a guy I was hearing about. Cade Johnson, I'm going to have to go out and watch. Now let's hear some of those risers. All right. Who rose? Whose stock went up this week?
I think it's always telling. The riser list is always much bigger than the faller list, right? So I would say, like, these players should go to the Senior Bowl because you generally aren't going to hurt yourself, but you certainly can help yourself. I think Mac Jones really helped himself in the week. He's another one that had a mysterious injury, so he couldn't play in the game that he didn't have all week, but you know, it popped up. It wasn't real.
There were a few players I heard like that killed it week day one or day two. I can't off the top of my head. Can't think of who it was, and then they were out by day two. But I don't know if Mac Jones was one of them, but there were definitely like two or three guys who I heard like killed it day one and then just shut it down.
Out. Yeah, I think there were some I'm trying to think too. I can't remember, but there were some receivers, and I think like some of the receivers shut it down early too. But I think Mac Jones lasted through the week. I mean, he was by far the best quarterback. It's funny evaluating receivers at the Senior Bowl because the ball – half the time, the ball's not even where it's supposed to be, right? It's not even there. Like, that's not what I'm looking for, you know, most of the time. It's just, you know, are you beating the corner if that ball was placed well? Mac Jones is one that was consistently placing the ball well. I mean, day one, all the quarterbacks were really taking it easy in the 7-on-7s. They were just checking the ball down, Mac Jones included. And then he was kind of the first one to really break out, start moving the ball down the field, try to find some guys open down the field. I thought he did really well with that. I think he's put himself clearly in the first round. I think top 15 is a real possibility now after the Senior Bowl. I mean, I think the leadership and, you know, all those intangible stuff was kind of more on display, and the fact that he could go and play with not Alabama players and have success, I think, is going to convince some. I wouldn't take him that high. I think NFL teams will. I think he could go in the top four quarterbacks as well. I think he could pass a Trey Lance potentially. So
this depends on your flavor, right?
That's exactly what it'll be, you know, on those offenses and what they think. We'll see where that buzz goes. Running backs are tough. It's always tough to say like this running back helped themselves. I thought there were two running back, Michael Carter from North Carolina. I think got all the buzz. You know, he was kind of the player that in the game and the practices was doing really well. He bulked up. That was huge. So I think he's a player that's put himself maybe in that day two mix. He could go in the third round.
What was his? Do you have his weight?
I think he was at 205, somewhere that's around there, 202 to 205 range.
Like 5'8", right? Around 5'8".
Right. So you know, generally in the NFL, you want to be over 210. That's usually fifth. And when we talk stud running backs, like stud running backs, you want to at least be 210. But being that short, it's a pretty good compact, you know, runner. So I think he's definitely a player. If he gets to a good situation – I can see the way. I think he could get in a good situation. I think everyone will love him, or he could end up, backing up. You know, someone drafts him to back up a established running back. You're like, not going to be good enough. I also like the Oklahoma running back, Ramondre Stevenson. He lost weight. He lost about 20 pounds.
He's the opposite. He's the anti.
I think he was down to 227 from being listed in the 240s. In college. So that was possible. He was tough to evaluate. Being as big as he was really good at the things that he could block when none of the other running backs could block, you know, those kind of things. So he's another guy. I think he'll go day three, but another good possibility in a good power scheme. And then I think the receivers, you can just list off the names that help themselves. Our boy, Dwayne Eskridge, right? Yeah. It was crushing it. I think he's put himself in day two. Wide receiver Mark Rogers from Clemson. That was probably the best consistently.
I heard a lot about him as a slot guy. Like he looked the part. Like he's going to be able to come in right to the NFL, start right away. Slot.
And I think a lot of people don't like him because, you know, he didn't do much early on, right? But you're at Clemson. You're behind T. Higgins. You know, you're behind these
– Justin Ross.
Justin Ross, you're behind these players that are elite players. So when he had his opportunity, he made it. Kind of a funny connection. His dad is T. Martin, the old Tennessee quarterback.
Okay.
And he's the new wide receiver coach for the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, if you get their ear, you draft your son in round two, you know.
Because Van Jefferson last year, his dad was a wide receiver coach for the Jets. So Van Jefferson was a guy who rose at the Senior Bowl, and there was a lot of buzz about him going to the Jets, and the Rams went ahead and took him. So it might help him get picked a little earlier. Someone might be afraid the Ravens are going to take him.
Right. That's a good point, right? Could push him off the board a little bit. So I'm interested to see. I think he could go round two now after this week. I think people really dig in. And then Nico Collins, wide receiver, didn't play this past year for Michigan. Really strong week, really good against some of the press coverage. Yeah, you know, so to Joseph's question, you know, I think Nico Collins put himself in the day two mix. I think, you know, the Giants could definitely look at him, right? I think having a big outside receiver, there's not a ton in this class after the first round. I don't think you're going to have a lot of those guys. So I think Nico Collins is going to go higher, probably even than I think, than a lot of people think. We'll start hearing that round two buzz. And then one tight end that I really liked was Hunter Long for Boston College. He's up to my tight end four. I think he's pretty clearly, for me, the fourth best tight end in this class. Kind of a Heath Miller, you know, type, can block, can catch, you know, has that, you know, as a Steelers fan, he's someone I would definitely hope for. But he's a day two possibility, maybe early day three player.
All right. I love it. And that's another guy. If you go back and listen to our Senior Bowl preview, that was a guy that we had as a watch for sure. Mm-hmm. Asbridge, a few of those guys we had on there. So we were pretty spot on. Now, as far as fallers go, I want you to hit me with your fallers, and then we're going to get into your top 10. All right. We're going to reveal Shane's top 10 for his Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl mock. So the last two picks might be, you know, a little off. We're not going to get that far. We're just going to get top right. 10. Let's get the fallers first.
Yeah, I mean, fallers, this is not a ton. I don't think there's too many guys that Nate, what's the which quarterback the Packers take in the first round? Look, if they do that again, I think Wisconsin will literally explode.
Everyone listening at home, if you're not watching live, my co-host Nate just hopped in to ask the Packers fan, which quarterback of the Packers taken in the first round? So, Nate, it could happen. You never know. Or running back, one or the other.
Maybe a kicker, you know. Let's get something juicy there. My followers, a quarterback, probably the biggest faller of the week was Felipe Franks, the quarterback for Arkansas. Florida, he was the quarterback of Florida, got hurt. That's how Kyle Trask came in. He transferred to Arkansas. And had a decent year. I mean, he's big. He has some athletic ability, really, really big arm. But, I mean, his ball placement was by far the worst, I think, of anyone in the week. And he was competing against some not great quarterbacks in Sam Ehlinger and Ian Book and Kellen Mond. So I thought Franks pushed himself out of getting drafted within Senior Bowl week. Running back Chris Evans from Michigan.
Not to be confused with Captain America.
Not Captain America. You know, he's a player that had a lot of buzz coming into the year because he's very athletic. Really good catching the football. Didn't do that much at Michigan this year. And Michigan's kind of a wasteland for offensive talent and developing that talent. And I mean, Evans just didn't look natural running the ball. I think that's his issue. I think he'll get drafted third day, but you're really banking on developing him as a player.
This next one, I can't stop myself from giggling reading this next name. So I don't know. Maybe it's a little childish, but it's a fun name.
LSU receiver Racy McMath he was someone I thought could come into the week. I thought he had better speed than he showed on film. Watching the Senior Bowl, he does not. you know, I thought he's someone that could come and maybe make a name for himself a bit. And I mean, he struggled against almost every corner, and there are some that aren't going to get drafted at the Senior Bowl that he struggled against. I thought, you know, he was kind of a little bit too lumbering, a little slow in and out of his breaks. It was a problem. And then a guy that I think is a little bit of a faller, not because of his own volition, is tight end Kylan Granson from SMU. Just, you know, he played full, a little bit of tight end, but mostly fullback. And, you know, he's kind of that H-back type of player, a good pass catcher. But I think he would have had a shot if he really would have shown himself as like a really good tight end to be in that, you know, tight end forward, tight end six mix. But I think people are going to view him as a fullback. I think it pushes him down. The Michigan fullback, Ben Mason, was dominant. And I know we're not going to talk about fullbacks on the fantasy football show, but I mean, he's a beast. You know, if a team drafts him, that running back's going to gain value. So, Granson, you know, is more finesse. I think it's going to be an issue for him.
All right, let's get to that top 10, Shane, live for the first time ever, your post-Super Bowl top 10. Let's hear it.
So, like number one is there's no question, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Trevor Lawrence, quarterback from Clemson. Number two, I wrestled with for a little bit, but I think the New York Jets are going to take Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU. The trade rumors for Sam Darnold already hitting the hype, and for some reason they don't want Justin Fields. I don't know. For some reason, Justin Fields is that quarterback too. I think people will regret that. And number three,
Justin Fields might not though.
He might not. He might not. He might pop up later in this top 10. So
and also might be happier wherever he lands. But that's not with the Jets. But go on.
Number three, the Miami Dolphins. I'm selecting Devonta Smith, wide receiver from Alabama. I think it would be a mistake. I would take Ja'Marr Chase, but I think that the Tua connection and the Heisman Trophy could be very convincing to a team, even with his profile not being ideal. For the Atlanta Falcons, was probably my hardest selection in this top 10. I haven't taken Patrick Surtain, the corner from Alabama. I don't think he's a top five player. I don't think Atlanta's going to take QB. And I think
they got Terrell. So now they got Terrell last year from Clemson. So right. Now they're going to have hopefully two lockdown corners, in their opinion.
And I think that was the worst part of their defense, right? You know, was that secondary. So doing whatever you can to help it, I think, is important. Five, the Cincinnati Bengals. I have taken Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. I still think he'll be the first one off the board. I know there's some rumblings about Slater bumping him. The Bengals better take a tackle. I mean, if they don't, I feel bad for Joe Burrow. Six, the Philadelphia Eagles. I have taken Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle from Northwestern. I think the Eagles could go a number just so many different ways, right? You know, I think they could take a receiver. I think they could take an offensive lineman. They could take a linebacker. They could take, you know, anything. But this feels a little bit more in the wheelhouse of their general manager to kind of build the line for Jalen Hurts, as it seems.
I feel like with the move they just made, the move they're supposedly going to make with Wentz, getting an additional first-round pick will allow them, I think, to swing for the fences at six. Like, you have a backup now. You have another pick. Well, one or the other. They don't have. They could go safe with six, swing for the fences. But I think with one of those first-round picks, they're going to be able to go all in on a player that they're super hyped on and not worry about it. You know, and it could be at six. Or it could be later in the first round, but that's a safe pick right there with Slater.
Yeah, and, you know, I have seven to Detroit. I have Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver from LSU, going there.
I think that's Galladay?
Yeah. I mean, Galladay is a free agent, right? Marvin Jones is a free agent. I'll kind of be surprised if either one signs back with the Lions. They're not exactly in the best cap situation. So this is going to be by far their biggest need if they don't sign someone decent. And I think Chase would be ideal. I mean, the Eagles could even take him at six if you want to talk about swing for the fences, right? You know, pair him with Jalen Reagor. I think that could happen. But I'm kind of hoping Ja'Marr Chase goes to the Lions because I hope it pushes them down in rookie drafts. I'll be happy to take that value. Eight, the Carolina Panthers. I'm selecting Justin Fields, quarterback from Ohio State. They seem very in on the quarterback, as we saw with them almost getting Matthew Stafford, being very close. So I think if they don't get someone, Joe Brady's offense, I think that would be a match made in heaven. Number nine, I have the Denver Broncos taking Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, probably play outside and rush. And then the Cowboys miss out by one pick for him. And I have the Dallas Cowboys 10 taking Caleb Farley, the corner from Virginia Tech. So,
all right, and then we have Joe's in here. He's a Giants fan. He wants you to go to 11 just to help him out. So, and also if Nate's still in here, can you give me 11 and then skip to the Packers and then we'll
sure. So I don't know if Joe's gonna like this pick, but I have the Giants at 11 taking Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver from Alabama. You know, I think they have a bunch of slot guys, Darius Slayton and etc. But they need some speed. I think they need a deep threat. I think Waddle is going to go higher than people think, even with the injury. He's just like super, super impressive. And then the Packers at 29, I have them taking Kadarius Toney, wide receiver from Florida, the Senior Bowl guy that looked really good, had some drops, but I think he's going to be a first-round pick if they want to get a little bit creative. I don't know if the Packers will want to. I think he's a real, real possibility for them there.
Joe loves it. Waddle is his favorite. So excellent.
Oh, nice.
All right, so that was awesome. I'm glad that you dropped that little hint earlier that you're doing your mock. I'm glad we got to put that on our show. I do want to let everybody know I'm going to post in the show notes. I have a Facebook group called When a Family Breaks. We do sports cards, sports memorabilia, all that good stuff. Right now we have an NFL draft mega raz going on. What it is, it's $10 a spot. I believe there's 18 spots, and I randomize online once it fills the winner. And the winner gets to choose from one of these items. Rondell Moore signed mini helmet, Micah Parsons signed mini helmet, got a Trevor Lawrence signed picture, Justin Fields signed mini helmet, and a Kyle Pitts signed picture. $10 a spot. DM me if you're interested. And again, we go live from the Facebook group once it fills. You get one of those items. And then after that, when one item's picked, boom, I'm going to set it back up for the four items that are left, and we're going to keep going and try to put this together for the draft. But Shane, man, it's been excellent having you on. I really appreciate you coming on. We were supposed to do it Saturday. We got a little mixed up. My son's soccer practice got switched, but man, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, hey, it's always fun coming on. I appreciate it. You know, I got to wear the Figment shirt, so
yeah,
it's always a win. It's always a win. Yeah.
You got the Figment, and I got the honey badge. two creatures of mythical sorts there. Everybody go follow Shane on Twitter at Shane P. Hallam. Also, Shane, your Twitter handle for your podcast is at Debbie Marketplace. Let everybody know a little bit about that so they can go find you over there too.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, subscribe to Debbie Marketplace. We focus on Debbie, college football. We're obviously doing a lot with the 2021 NFL draft right now. We really focus on value. You know, when to buy guys, when to sell guys, kind of how to do that. So even if you're not in a Debbie league, I think it's an entertaining show. And my co-host, Kane Fussell, who, we were trying to get him on here. I was trying to convince him to get up early and come on today. But he's an entertaining dude. So I think you'll enjoy it.
We're gonna do a mock as we get closer to the draft. We'll have to get him on rookie mock. We'll do that. But everybody, I appreciate you hopping on this morning. I appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoy the Super Bowl. And after the Super Bowl, it's draft season, like hardcore. It's on. So make sure you follow Shane. Make sure you follow the show. We're going to be releasing a lot of draft content. Stay safe today. Don't do anything dumb. Don't drink and drive. Enjoy the game and win some money. All right. We will catch you all later on.